This episode is sponsored by Zephr. Zephr is a fast, secure, cloud-based website platform for agencies that empowers you to launch gorgeous websites for clients in a matter of days at a massive profit margin and without developers. If you're struggling to deliver websites fast and profitably, Zephr is a dream come true. Leave your website pain behind. Learn more about Zephr and schedule a demo at zephyrcms.com.
Welcome to the Inbound Back Office Podcast, where we chat with smart agency owners about agency challenges. I'm Amy Metherell, co-founder of Inbound Back Office, plug-and-play back office support for your inbound marketing agency. Today, I am speaking with Elizabeth Malmquist, and she is from D. Magelli Media, and we're going to talk about bootstrapping your startup. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Welcome. Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about D. Magelli Media?
All right, so who we are? We are actually a growth marketing agency. We help startups and small companies, and we do that with inbound marketing growth-driven design.
Awesome. And where did the name D. Magelli Media come from?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, actually, it's funny because a while back, I actually kind of was wondering, like, what do I do with my email address? And so I started to put like an acronym together, and the acronym is really just the D stands for like my middle name, which is Danielle, and then the MAG stands for my last name before I got married, which which is Magaña, and then the ELI is my actual first name, which is Elizabeth.
Oh, that's super interesting.
Yeah. So I just kind of put those together, and it became D. Magelli. And then years ago, a friend of mine who's in marketing was like, that sounds like actually a really cool marketing name. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, didn't think put anything together. But years later, like this is like, go fast forward like 10 years later. And this is kind of how it all began with our business. Like, okay, where do we get started? Like, what's the name? And we kind of put together D. Magelli. We're like, well, let's just use that since, you know, just seemed like something to do. There was really no rhyme or reason for it. And we just kind of slapped media onto that.
I love it. That's a great story.
Yeah, and then to be honest, you know, it was kind of one of those quirky names, and we're kind of quirky people, so we're like, okay, let's just kind of stick with that. It kind of defines us a little bit, and it also kind of, I noticed, you know, with having that name, that it also kind of became a conversation piece when we were talking to people, like networking. I noticed that people would be like, well, how do you pronounce that? And then, you know, we'd kind of like talk about that, and then it would kind of like open up a conversation and a dialogue. And so, you know, at first I thought, well, maybe it's going to be kind of an annoying thing to kind of always be explaining what our name is. But then it kind of actually became like a good icebreaker for us.
Neat.
Yeah.
I love a good story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really ever think of it as like a good marketing name, but you know, it just kind of defines who I am, but it also defines like the quirkiness, and it's a good conversation starter.
Awesome. I love it. All right. Well, let's jump into the topic. So when we're talking about bootstrapping your startup, you have a couple of lessons that you learned, which has brought you to become sort of a, you know, maybe not an expert, but someone with some value that you can share. So why don't you talk about the first lesson that you learned?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think for us, as when we started our journey, we really started with like, you know, an idea. For us, it was an idea, but it also was like, okay, how do we get this idea? And we also wanted to travel, mind you. So we wanted to kind of make this a business where we can be digital nomads. We can, you know, travel, but we can also use our skill sets to kind of build on that. So, you know, we were thinking, well, where do we even start? Because we also wanted to move to Europe at the time when we began the journey. And in order to do that, we realized that, you know, starting a business would be a good venture, and being able to like, you know, navigate in Europe and actually navigate a business internationally. So it was, that was like a big feat in itself. You know, we had no experience doing that. But we took it on. We decided, well, let's just give it a shot. So, you know, maybe our journey is a little different because not only did we want it to be digital nomads, we wanted to take skills that we learned and started into a business, but we also wanted to go do that in Europe. So, you know, we kind of put ourselves in a position to where it, maybe if we would just stayed locally, we would have, you know, the resources, we know the language, it would have been a little bit easier, but we decided, no, let's just go a little further and more complicated, you know, for us. And so we went to Europe and we started a remote business there in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So we navigated there a little bit. You know, there was some language barriers, but we got through it. We had, for us, one of the biggest things was planning. We really had to plan not only just moving and where to go, where to stay, but like all our, you know, the planning of like defining our why and why are we doing this. That was a really big thing for us. Just like setting out to understand that, making sure that when you're ready for this journey, that you have a strong why of going forward to like, how are you going to run your business. And that was kind of a big defining moment for us. And luckily for, I think for us and for everyone today, there's so much information on the internet, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, it seemed daunting in the beginning, just trying to do an international business, that we decided, let's just take it one step at a time and let's just see where it goes. We have at least 4 months to live here. And if it doesn't go the right way, at least we get to explore and travel. And so, you know, we had a positive spin on it too. You know, but you know, with time, you know, we also decided, okay, well, we understand our why, but like, you know, do we have a good customer business, like focused business model? So for us, planning your why, finding your niche, and then just really trying to target those customers.
All right. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your business plan?
Sure. So for us, you know, writing a business plan was really important because being international, it would have actually been very difficult to continue living there and actually having a business without a business plan. So what I did is before I even went out there, I obviously did research because we were going to be going international. We want to start a business. So before going there, we actually did a lot of research on like how to start the business there. What are the things you need? And what we found was starting the business plan is super important. So, you know, I went on the internet, I found there's so many resources, obviously, you know, you find a ton of things online. And what I did is just got like a trial membership and I literally just used the resources through that and I created my business plan in like one night and I just put
it
was that easy. It was,
oh my gosh. How big was it?
It was actually more considered what I would say a traditional business plan rather than like lean startup, which I probably could have done, you know. Now,
okay.
reflecting back, I'm thinking, well, it all really depends on how you wanted to go about it. But I did actually a really traditional business plan and I had like projections for like, I think 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5. And I just really just kind of like had all of those things broken down. Like, what do I need to do? What are my goals to get there? And that was really put into place. And you know, a lot of the things I didn't take advantage before I left was like working with, SBA. And I think that that's really helpful coming back now that I'm here, I'm actually using them more now today, just for other resources. So, you know, they have a lot of like really good business plan toolkits on there, that you can get free counseling. So I really recommend people who are like starting a business really take advantage of like SBA. You know, get involved in that and find resources that are free. You know, there's a lot of groups and, you know, places that'll help you with your business plan too. And, and also I think too, like if you're a women owned business, really like using that to your advantage, or a minority owned business, because that's what I am. I'm actually both. So.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't actually take advantage of that, when I went to the Netherlands, but now that I'm here locally, I'm actually, you know, women-owned business now. Like, I actually certified for that, like a self-certified for that, which was, you know, a super simple process, and you get free counseling for that. So it's really...
I was just going to ask, like, what are the benefits of getting certified as a woman-owned business or a minority-owned business?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I decided to go that route was because I was also trying to look for government contracting. As a small business. So that was one of the things that, as if you're a small business, you know, there's a certain amount, a percentage of jobs that'll go to, like women-owned businesses or smaller business that can be contracted. So, you know, you got to find your way around that.
Right.
That was really helpful for, you know, finding, you know, like some kind of a service like that can help people navigate through that. And there are free services out there for you. So, you know, it wasn't something that we took advantage of in the beginning. We just kind of did everything on our own. So I recommend, like, when you're bootstrapping and you're really on a budget and, you know, you don't have all the answers, you know, look for resources, you know, look for other people that are doing that, that know how to navigate it for you. It really helped.
Wow. Yeah. Do you find that, like, regular businesses would prefer to do business with, like, women-owned or a minority-owned business as well?
You know, I think so. I think that there's definitely a niche for that, too. I think that, especially today, I think, as well, it's just, like, you know, there's a certain amount of jobs that are specifically, you know, designated as far as like contracting for those reasons, you know, because it's harder, I think, in some ways. So it kind of opens up another opportunity that, you know, you can navigate and see where you fit into that. But I definitely think that it's something to be, looked into for sure.
Right. Especially since it's like something you can do that's not, you know, expensive, obviously. And, sounds pretty simple as far as the process goes.
Right. And if you're not familiar with like a lot of the processes, you know, you can even get like a mentor firm to kind of like help you and maybe even like, and this is with government contracting. You know, you could even try to be like a mentor protege. And, you know, try to see if you're not like specifically in the beginning, you're like bootstrapping. You're like, I have zero like knowledge or understanding of how to even bid or propose for these contracts, but you can kind of find like a mentor or a firm to kind of help you with that. So yeah, that's another way. But another thing that, I also recommend is when you're starting to bootstrap is really just kind of find a good partner. You know, if you're, depending on how the size that you start off as a startup, you know, like typically a lot of the times it's like maybe one person and they're just kind of like, or maybe it's two, I'm not sure, you know, everybody's different. For me in the beginning, it was, you know, me and my partner. So we had different skill sets, you know, so I think that like that is a critical, part to your startup because when you can seek a partner who kind of complements your skill sets, it kind of like can let, you know, it's you have like a better shot, I think.
So I totally agree.
You know, especially when you're starting out and you have to do all these different, you have to wear so many hats. You know, it gets really, it gets hard. And when you can find someone who can kind of like, do the things that you're not specifically inclined to do all the time. And like, you know, maybe it's a salesperson who has like better skills in sales and you're just like, I don't really like doing that. And I'm like a marketer and I like rather do the technical back end stuff, you know?
Right.
Which is kind of where me and my partner, you know, I'm more of the like back end technical marketing type of gal, designer, that type of person. And my partner is more, you know, like sales. So it kind of like, you know, in starting this business, we kind of thought, well, in the direction that we want to go, in order to like do the business, we need someone who's sales and marketing, and we had to align. Just like we try to say for other, trying to help other businesses, we had to find how we can align before we can
help
others. So I think that that's really important, because finding someone to compliment you is going to make it so much less daunting. It really is. Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes your business so much stronger. Because you might be able to do the things that your partner's doing, but they probably are stronger at it. And so, like, when you play to your strengths, I think it just makes the company so much better.
Absolutely. I believe that too. Another thing, I think when you're in the planning phase, I think another thing, is really having a good, thinking about your taxes. Is really, I think, lesson learned. Number one is that I didn't really think about having a CPA and someone who knew. Like, I had a CPA here in the States, but I didn't realize that my CPA wasn't versed in international, international business laws and like doing taxes for that. So I came into a snag with that. So I really recommend, if you're going to go take this remote, but go into Europe, and it can kind of get a little complicated. So kind of think about that, if that's something that you're going to be doing. Everything's squared away now, but it was kind of coming back. It was oh gosh, what do we do? Where do we start? And then, still trying to have that conversation with the Netherlands. And in the Netherlands, I think the way I think it worked for us, they do need a lot of paperwork, but you can't really do a business if you don't have a CPA there in the Netherlands. So finding one there was important for us to start the business. So that's another thing. If you're international or remote, you want to be able to find one of those in order to start your business. So,
wow, that's something I probably wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did. I had no idea getting there either. And there's just all these different things that you have to do. But I think what was our one of the things that we did really plan out before you even went there, going there, was our budget. So, other thing I would really tell people that are starting a business that we've learned is be super thrifty if you can.
Right.
In the beginning of your business, sometimes you want to be fancy with it.
Yeah.
So, it's like a new venture, but you think that, I got to be super fancy. I got to have these beautiful business cards,
Nope, you sure don't.
And, to be honest, I really wasn't a big fan of business cards. It's kind of
I've never been a fan of business cards. I don't. In this day and age, I think it's kind of pointless.
I feel like it can be obsolete at some point. I'm hoping it will be, because I'm just not a big fan of it. I mean, I do like the nostalgia of it, having that little Rolodex.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I really kind of struggled with getting the business card in the beginning. And but then when I started doing networking, I just thought, okay, I got to get it going, do something with a business card. And so. But another really cool thing is use an app as a business card. So, because my thing is, I get a business card and then later on I'm I lose it or something, or something happens, and then you lose that connection to getting in touch with that person again.
And right.
So for me, it's better just to kind of do it right then and there. I get their information right away, put it in the app, scan their business card, and then put that into your CRM, and you've already got that half of the battle right there.
So awesome.
That was, But I think if you can navigate getting away with not doing a business card, kudos for you. But if you do need to, don't get too fancy with it. Most people are not, I feel like most people don't really
they don't really pay attention to what it looks like.
Yeah.
They just want the information.
Right. They want your information, or it just gets lost anyways.
Right.
But, as far as you know, being thrifty, you know, really just kind of also, if you're bootstrapping your business, set yourself up for like security. For us, you know, because we had to do that like a 6 to 12 months worth of funds. And we actually were a little different in the sense that we built our business and our living expenses into the budget plan, our business plan. So we said, okay, this is what our 12-month projection is, and this is what we can. And we also wanted to be able to travel, so that was including, like, travel. So it was very lean living. But we also, you know, we had to consider, like, our purchases of, like, what we needed in order to purchase as a business, you know, like, our personal expenses, our living expenses, you know, all of those things. And also because we had to get, like, being international, we also had to get, like, a co-work space in order to
mm-hmm.
do that was another thing. The person we were living, it started off as an Airbnb that we ended up living there for X amount of time, but we were unable to use her address as our business. So we actually have to get a co-working space so that we can use that as our business address. So thinking about those expenses, are you going to need a co-working space? Maybe today, living in the States, if you have your own house, you can put work out of your house and it's just internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're not so fancy, you know, you kind of can come to terms with the idea of not living this lavish lifestyle, and it's really just about what you're trying to do, you know.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, because there's so much going on in the world today, so it's like that's not even a necessary part.
Exactly. Well, we are just about out of time. But Elizabeth, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. You have shared some really great information. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you and DeMagelli Media online?
Sure. So you can find us at DeMagelliMedia.com and social media, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and it's all DeMagelli Media.
Awesome. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Inbound Back Office podcast brought to you by Inbound Back Office, plug-and-play back office support for your inbound marketing agency. You can find Inbound Back Office at inboundbackoffice.com.